Father, when we gather in your presence, it's our desire to know you. Speak to us. In Jesus' name, Amen. I wonder how many of you received Christ in about 1 year now. About 1 year. Anyone? Oh, Eva. Okay. How many now? So you are in year one. How many received Christ more than 5 years? Raise your hand. Oh, how many years? You can't remember?
15 years.
Oh, young boy. You are in year 15. You know how many years I have received Christ? This year is my 45th year. So I'm at year 45. Year 1, still a long way to go. Year 45. But yet, this topic, sanctification, is still very important to me. Before I received Christ, I was about 18 years old, so you can know how old I am. I was 18 years old. In the world, I built up a lot of bad habits. I was entangled in sin. Once I know the forgiveness of Christ, I receive Him as my Savior. And then I want to be a good person. I want to change my way to please Him. But yet, again and again, I failed. So whenever I come to God, I want to be a good person. In the past, I don't know about God Himself. But now I know God. I want to be good. But the more I want to be good, the more I realize my old habits, the sin, come back to draw me back into the sinful world. I start to feel very disappointed with myself. So much, how come I never change? Help me to change. And then I go back to sin. Help me to change. And then I go back to sin. Then I'll complain, God, why are you not helping me? So this is my struggle. And later on, I realize, I may think, God doesn't help me. God doesn't care about me. I was so disappointed with myself. But yet I realize some other Christians, so-called Christians, they did not change a bit at all. They seem to be okay with it. They still live in sin. They use bad language. They do the bad things as well. So I start to wonder, how come they seem to be feeling okay to do bad things, but how come I am the one who struggle and feel so disappointed with myself? What is the reason behind all this? So, actually, if I know this topic, sanctification, then I will find my answer. So if you are genuine trying to live a life to please God, and you find that you are not overcoming sin, but sin overcoming you sometimes, you need to know sanctification. Why is it that important? Now, what is the main difference between holiness and sanctification? I do some research, and of course the answer is holiness. These two words seem to be referring to the similar thing. But holiness describes what something is or some person. He is holy. For example, it talks about the state or the state of or set apart for God. For example, when we say God is holy, you can imagine pure, no sin at all. But the believers are called to be holy, to be like Him. So we have to reach that holy state. The condition, we need to reach that state. God is holy. He wants us to become holy. So God is, for example, God is perfectly white, but I am gray. So I need to change my color towards to be white as well. So God is holy. I set apart. I used to live a dark life, but now I realize I'm gray in color, so I need to, on my way to holiness. God wants us to live without sin my life. This is the ultimate aim of God. God wants us to be holy, pure, just like Him. How about sanctification? Sanctification is how holiness is brought about. It describes the process, the act, which is by which God makes someone holy. So sanctification is not finished yet, but it seems how God makes us holy. So just now you remember, for example, if God is pure white, but I'm gray, so my ticking off the dark spots in my life, my color change, this is the process, sanctification. Myself turning white or myself turning holy. This is the process. So these are the two differences. One is talking about the state, the other talking about the process. Sanctification is a process. But actually, let's look at here. According to the Bible, Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. God Himself is holy. And yet, in 1 Peter, it says, but as He who called you is holy, God is holy, you also be holy. So God is holy. He wants us changed to be holy just like Him in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So this is the will of God, for us to be a holy people. Okay? And yet, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. So this process, there seems to be a process, is called sanctification. But you may ask, isn't sanctification we are already sanctified? Are we sanctified already? Are you sure? In the Bible, sanctification, what does it mean? It means to set apart for special use or purpose, or to make holy. Okay? So, as I said before, if there are 10 cups on the cupboard, I pick this cup. Now, everybody knows this green cup belongs to me. This green cup, apart from other cups, not because this is special, but I chose it. So this cup set apart from the other 9 cups, this cup belongs to Paul. So set apart for me. So among every people on earth, God chose you, set you apart from this world. These people belong to me. So this is sanctification. Okay? So it refers both. There are 2 meanings. Actually, there are 3, but we look at the first 2 first. It refers to both an initial one-time status granted by God to believers through Christ's sanctification, through Christ's sacrifice. The second one is an ongoing lifelong process and spiritual transformation. And spiritual transformation by the Holy Spirit. Okay, so now we know sanctification actually refers to 2 things. One thing is one-time status. So we have a status of sanctified. It is the beginning of changing. So we are already sanctified, starting the process, sanctified already. So when God set us apart, sanctified begins. So when you are at the starting point, even though you may not sanctify as if fully holy yet, but when you are at the starting point, you are sanctified. You are called to be sanctified. So, and then after the long journey and ongoing lifelong process, imagine when the school accepts you, say if this is a medical school, I accept you as a medical student. So the first day you come into the class, You may not look like a doctor at all. You know nothing about doctor. But when you sit there, I can say, you are a doctor already, because you started already. Okay, so this is the status. You can show me your student ID. Student of medical science, something like that. So your ID grants you a status. You are free to come in. You are allowed to attend the class. So you have the status of medical. You are pre-doctor. You are not a doctor yet, but you are a doctor. I can say you have been separated. You are called. Yes, you can. So and so, you can come to this university. You can attend the class. You are called. You can attend. But are you already a doctor? Can you perform surgery right now? No, you can't. So this is the beginning, the status. And then you start the lifelong process and ongoing. Just now I say, I'm at year 45. I am still learning. I am still learning, just like you are learning. You are year one, Eva. I'm year 45. Senior than you. But not much ahead, but we have to keep going forward, isn't it? So, now we know the positional sanctification, or we can call we are justified in God's eye. So this is a one-time event that occurs at conversion. That means when you start to accept Christ, Jesus, come into my life, then it's one time. It happens when a believer is declared righteous and set apart as holy in God's eye. So God set you apart. When you receive Jesus, God set you apart. Just like I tell you, many 10 green cups, I take this green cup set apart as holy in God's eyes through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. This set apart, Jesus has to pay a price. In 1 Corinthians, in Hebrews 10:10, it says, this changes a person's legal status before God from guilty to righteous. So the 9 cups in the cupboard, guilty. This one picked aside, accepted, righteous. He is okay now. Okay, so this set apart, sanctification, the beginning. Are you sanctified? Yes. For the first stage, beginning, one-time status, event occur. So when you are saved, are you sanctified? Yes. But you are still in the process of complete sanctification. Okay, so in 1 Corinthians it says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So just now, remember, I took this green cup out, it may be dirty. So Jesus Christ, his precious blood, cleansed me, cleansed, washed. Now set apart, sanctified, and you were justified. Now this cup cleansed, okay now. This cup is okay, it's righteous, it's justified. No problem with this cup in God's eye. So when we are washed by Jesus' blood, we are set apart. Every time I come to the meeting, it's not according to how good I am. Just like 45 years ago, I need the blood of Jesus Christ. Still in year 45, I still need the blood of Jesus Christ to come before God. Not because how many times I read the Bible, not how good I am, I earn my way to God. No. No, how, oh, you have sinned, you stumble, you fall. Not because how bad I am. Every time I dare to come, to serve, to praise, to pray, all because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. Not how good you are that you deserve to come before God. You may be better in the future. You may read no more Bible. You may serve God more. But doesn't That doesn't earn your way to come before God. You may fail 2 more times, 10 more times, 100 more times, and yet every time you come before God is by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you really know that, you will jump for joy, my friend. You are big relief. You are not relying on how good or how bad you are. You did not pay the price. Christ paid the price. We are sanctified by His blood. So, and whenever we have the bread and the cup, it reminds us. Not all these 45 years, what I have been through. No, it doesn't count at all. How good or how bad doesn't matter at all. Every time I come to the bread and cup, it's because Jesus sacrificed for me. You understand that? God doesn't look at how good your report or how bad your, or you have a bad report today. I don't listen to your prayer. You don't deserve to pray. You can't be song leader today. You don't deserve to pray music. You don't deserve, unless it's by the blood of Christ. Then we can serve Him, we can draw near to Him. Isn't this wonderful? Total relief. But let's not stop there. Because God doesn't want us to stop there. It's a progressive sanctification. God wants us to be transformed, to be more and more like Him. I may be 100% sinner, but God's life in me wants to transform my life. My whole life. The Holy Spirit is doing His work. So this is the ongoing supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Just now we mentioned Christ paid the price, but now Holy Spirit in my life, He changed me, transformed me. Of the Holy Spirit in cooperation with the believer, in cooperation. Holy Spirit is helping me each day throughout my life. I don't know how many years I go on, but never stop. I'm always holding the learner license. I'm still learning to be more and more like Him. It involves growing in holiness, putting off sinful desires. I need to learn putting it down, sinful desires. I don't know how. Holy Spirit is guiding me. There may be some addiction in your life. Right now, the games online, or so many things. So much attraction from this world. So many bondages. So many traps. So many temptations. So many trials on earth. You face a lot. When you step out of your home into this world, in school, high school, bullying, all these different values affecting you, all this social media, people make fun of you maybe, they're trying to influence your value. Oh, I want beauty, I want to look beautiful as that girl. All this value bombarding us daily. All this the Lord is going to renewing the mind and becoming more and more like Jesus. So once we are separated, cleansed, and God is going to transform. So just now I mentioned about taking a cup out. Actually, it's not fixed. The cup, it needs changing. So God is transforming this cup to be more like Jesus. So it's a progressive. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. So we have a part. We know we are living in filthiness. Day by day, you are struggling with it, maybe. But yet, we have to cleanse, let us cleanse. Holy Spirit is reminding us, if we listen and follow, we will be cleansed from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This perfecting is like a growing process. We'll be more and more mature to be more like Jesus. So this whole world is trying to pull you down to be like them. But God wants to set us apart. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. So in Romans, it says, now, you have to be responsible because the Holy Spirit is teaching you. You have to respond daily to the Holy Spirit as if you are going for a driving lesson. If I'm the driving instructor sitting next to you, no, go, 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 turn, turn, slow, slow, slow. I'm giving you instruction. You need to listen, and then you are perfecting your driving skill. Not just, I got my driving learner license. I got the license. Yeah, learner. Okay, you have to learn. So you need to listen to the supervising driver. He supervises you, teach you, so you learn the skill, and then one day you become qualified driver, isn't it? So there's a process of learning. You need to cooperate. You need to present your members. Give your hand. Give your body. Listen to the Holy Spirit. So actually, this is nothing strange. If you look at the past in the Old Testament, God's work is always separating something. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Let there be light. So we separate darkness and light. God likes to separate. When this separation tells us what God's like. If there are many colors on the table, many colors of lolly. I only eat white, so I pick up all the white lolly. So I pick up the white from the other colors. I separate, I like white. So when God separates, tell us his character. He likes light. God is light, actually, in 1 John, isn't it? And he separates water and land. After this separation, there comes the animal. If covered by water, plants cannot grow, animals cannot grow. But after this separation, life and death separates. We can see life prosper when there is separation occur. In the past, our old life is underwater, under judgment, and in sin. But when God called us apart, separate us, just like land coming up from the sea, and then life starts to grow. Trees starts to grow, bear fruits, telling us the glory of God. So God always separate to show us what is in his heart. What is the character of God? God separates clean animal and unclean animals. These are unclean animals, don't you? These are clean animals you can eat. So God is teaching his people, eat, consume what is clean. He taught the Israelites in the wilderness, in the book of Leviticus, clean and unclean. A good concept. God chose Israelites, called them out of Egypt. Exodus, out, come out, my people. And when people were lost in the Israelites were in the was captured by the Babylonian Empire. My people, come out from Babylon. Called us out from this world. Now, what is the church? Church is the called out assembly. Ecclesia, ek is out. Ecclesia is come out and gather. So if you just come out and not come to the assembly, you are just a tiny spot you can easily swallow by the world. But as we come out and gather together, we become strong. We become the body of Christ. So you need to come out and gather. Church is like that. So this is God's work, is separation. And God taught the Israelites in Leviticus, when you breed the livestock, you can't mix breed with another kind. Okay, so cow always be cow, sheep always be sheep, cow and sheep can't mix together to form a new kind of animal. And you shall not sow your feet with mixed seed. Barley is barley, wheat is wheat. Don't mix them together. So God is a God that separates. So we can see his character. Nor shall a garment mixed linen and wool come upon you. Now today many clothing are mixed, isn't it? Synthetic material. 90%, 10% or something like that, different kind of material. But in the past, God wants the people to wear pure wool or pure linen, not mixed. Okay? So God is teaching us something. Speak of his character. When we have serving God, we can't have two other gods. When we are delivered to serve him only. In 1 Corinthians, it talks about believers and non-believers. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? They shouldn't mix together. And what communion has light with darkness? They can't mix together. And what accord has Christ with Belial, an idol? Or what part has a believer with a non-believer? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And so on. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate. So God called us to come out from this mixture. Come out from this world. Do not touch what is unclean. So does it mean we have to live in a monastery, live somewhere high in the mountain to keep us away from this world? Not at all. God wants to be salt in this world and keep the saltiness. It's easy to be salt in a salt shaker. There's a book called Salt in a Salt Shaker. Have you read it? No. It's easy to live among Christians, maybe. Everybody has the same belief. But if you live outside the world, people may persecute you. It's a different story to live in a non-Christian world. It's a challenge, actually. And yet, when we group together, we shine as light in this world. So God's word want us to separate. So how can our mindset, our attitude, be different from this world? Even though we are living in this world, but we are not following the world. We are not conformed by the world, say in our work or in our study. So in this world, people work. Why do they work so hard, day and night? If someone set apart for God, why does he study so hard? Your friends study for what? I get into a medical school or to become a lawyer, get a good salary, get a good future, I have a good living. But what about you when you are saved, set apart for God? Why are you studying? Why are you working? What is your purpose? What is your aim? So this set us apart from the world. Both are studying very hard. They are studying for their future, but we are studying for Rebecca. Exactly. You are set apart for God. So God put you there. You are being faithful to study for him. It doesn't mind you got 60, 70, 80, because we have different mentality. Sometimes some people are smart, some people are not so smart. But yet, if we are faithful, doing it our best for him, that sets us apart from the world. Okay? People do this for their own good. We do this to please God. This sets us apart. So similarly, in our relationship, father and son, the whole world says, the father, oh, I want my son to grow up, to get a high degree, to become a famous person, successful, so the son can bring me honor. Or the son may think, oh, father, blah, 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 blah. They have their own way of thinking, but when you are set apart, what would you do? My son is not for my glory. My son is God given him to me. Tell me to how to nurse him, to bring him up, to be a vessel for God. So my prayer for my children is one day they love Jesus and serve Jesus. I don't care if they are doctor or any other job. As long as they are faithful in serving God, I am pleased. So brothers and sisters, husband and wife. Husband, I would say, my wife must please me. The wife says, my husband must love me. Everyone demanding. But when you are setting apart, the husband will say, oh, God granted me this woman. I must learn how to love her no matter what in my whole life, showing him the love of God. And the wife will do the same thing to the husband. My God has given me this husband. He may not be bright, he may not be successful, he may not be a millionaire, but yet I want to honor my husband, because honoring my husband, I want to show my love to God. So you see, the mindset will be very different when you are set apart for him. So wealth speaks of my ability, my wisdom. But now we know, wealth, God give me this money, I am just an accountant keeping the money. I must use this money wisely for God's kingdom. So you are not you are not possessing all this money. You are just managing the money for God's kingdom. Okay, so you see the difference? People have wealth. This is speaks of my wisdom, my ability. How good I am. Oh, the richest man in the world. Wealth. But for those who are chosen, set apart for God, they know their wealth is, they are just a manager to keep God's money for God's kingdom. Success. Oh, everybody adores me, likes me. They think I'm good, admire me. But what is success? Success is doing God's will. Is Jesus success by nailing on the cross? People look at him, oh, he failed totally at that moment. But afterwards, when resurrection comes, it's a different story. So when people say, you seem to lose, the bad guy wins, the good guy suffers. You are not successful, you are a failure. But yet you know, when I'm following God's way, this is the success. This is what I want. I fail if I depart from him. I fail. Remember Satan tempts Jesus? Bow down before me. I give you the riches of this world. Yet Jesus never bowed to Satan. He lives a poor, humble life, and yet he achieved God's kingdom through him. Wonderful success story. Money, I talked about wealth already, choices. What is right or wrong? When I was a high school teacher, a young girl came to me, my student, should I choose science or arts? Oh, I don't know what subject I should choose. Oh, can God show me which subject I can choose? She come to ask me. Then I say to her, no matter what subject you choose, science, arts, any subject, it doesn't matter what subject, it's not that important. Your subject will not change your future a lot in my mind. The thing is, if you love God, if you want to serve him, if you are doing science, fine. If you are doing arts, you will be fine. Science or arts doesn't matter that much, as long as you love God. Not how much money you make in the future, but if you love God, these are not important issues. Apple is good or orange is good? Which is better? Both are good, but both have some maybe disadvantage if you have too much of them. So it depends on, have you offered your life to follow Jesus? Right or wrong, not people say. In this world, telling us gay rights or abortion rights, so many people have different opinions. But I'm not seeking how many people say yes, how many people say no. I only concern what God says. Church ministry. When you serve in the church, so often you compare sometimes with others. Oh, she is successful. She is a good piano player. She is a good song leader. Oh, he speaks very well. He speaks even better. When you compare, oh, I'm not so good, you feel disappointment. Oh, I'm no good, you feel rejected. But know something, if you are not good at this, doesn't matter. Maybe God can use you in another way. And you should be joyful if God used someone more than you. Happy for him. He's stronger than me. I can't lift 10 chairs. But, oh, Tim can lift 12 chairs. Oh, great. So he can do more. I can do less. Isn't it? So we are in a body. I don't need to compare and feel jealous. Jealous with him. He's stronger. Good on you. Keep doing. May you can lift 15 chairs. I keep my 10. I'm happy. Okay? So I don't need to compare and feel rejected or failed. So finally, ultimate sanctification. If our whole life being transformed, cleansed continually, and ultimate means when you are graduated. When are we graduated? When Jesus comes or when I die. Okay? So this is the final and complete freedom from sin that will happen when Christ returns, when a believer dies. At this point, believers will be fully conformed to the image of Christ and become perfect and blameless. So there are three steps of sanctification. The first one is the positional one, when we got saved. The second one is the progressive one throughout our whole life. And the final one is the ultimate sanctification, when we are fully transformed to be like Christ. So knowing this, I won't feel, oh, I'm not good enough, I fail again. Every time I come to the meeting, I know it's by the blood of Christ. But in our daily life, I need to listen to the Holy Spirit to let my life be transformed by him. So my year 45, year 46, year 47, I keep going, keep changing, hopefully. May I not stop and become stubborn and not learning. I keep learning. I failed. Still, today I failed. I make mistakes. But I still keep on learning. I never disappointed. Because God has still hope in me. So I'm on my journey. You are coming along. Let's go together to reach perfection according to God's will. Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you we can gather here because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we are already sanctified and you have given us the position, the status that we can start. And we pray in our daily lives, we will let Holy Spirit continually teaching us, leading us to live a life that pleases you. And let your sanctification work be complete and keep transforming our lives to please you. Let your will be done in our life, Lord. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.